Welcome back for another episode of Legal Marketing Radio. So recently, I was thinking that on this podcast, we haven't devoted enough time and space to social media. So this episode is going to try and fix that. And we've got a special guest who's going to help us do it. Ethan Wall is the founder of Social Media Law and Order, and he's an attorney, an author, a marketing consultant, a speaker, and more. So Ethan is going to help us explore how attorneys can optimize their social profiles and leverage them to get more clients and cases, which is what it's really all about, right? Now, before we get started with Ethan, just a quick reminder, if you're not already familiar with LaFleur, we're a full-service digital marketing partner that works with law firms across the country to grow their businesses and develop their brands. To learn more about us, just check out our website. We're at LaFleur.marketing. That's LaFleur.marketing. And on our website, you can find all sorts of other helpful resources, including additional episodes of this podcast, blog articles, ebooks, infographics, and way more. Okay, let's join Ethan Wall in the podcast studio and talk about social media for attorneys on Legal Marketing Radio from LaFleur. All right. Joining us on the podcast this week is Ethan Wall. So Ethan, before we get started, you know, some of the attorneys who are listening, they may not be familiar with you. Hard to believe, but maybe true for some of them. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, your background and how you came to this point and why, you know, social media law and order, why you focused on that specifically?
Yeah, about 10 years ago, say it was 2010, I was practicing internet law and commercial litigation at this awesome litigation firm in South Florida. And I wrote my first book called The Social Media Guide for Lawyers. And the purpose of the book was to analyze 400 law firms from around the world and their perspective and ideas about how they use social media at their law firms, particularly for marketing at all. If so, why? And is it effective or why not? And at that point, I realized two different things. One, lawyers had either missed name or weren't comfortable using social media. And two, there were no attorneys in the world that were focusing exclusively on social media law. So fast forward now 8 years, I founded the world's first social media firm to help clients protect and grow their business that uses social media legal issues, and found Social Media Law and Order, which is an education, training, and social media and digital marketing agency by lawyers for lawyers. And really, at the end of the day, I was so passionate about, which was social media and the law. I wanted to develop a lifestyle companies that fit the things that I was interested in. And so through the law firm, we help clients protect and grow their businesses. And through Social Media Law and Order, we help lawyers and law firms attract new clients for their law firm using social media, search engine optimization, pay-per-click advertising, reputation management, email marketing, all the wonderful tools that are out there. Mm-hmm. But we do it in a manner that complies with legal advertising ethics rules because I'm a practicing attorney myself. So I understand the importance to be effective, but also do things responsibly at the same time.
Yeah, definitely important. Now, I know you have expertise in a lot of different areas regarding social media and law. You know, you write about social media and, you know, the way it intersects with case law and discovery. And, you know, you write about attorney ethics concerns. You know, mainly today, you know, because we're a digital marketing firm and that's the reason most attorneys are coming here for the podcast. You know, we want to focus on probably, you know, the marketing aspects of social media. And I think, you know, one of the biggest questions attorneys have is, you know, we see some of them, they start up a Facebook page or a Twitter account and, you know, they just struggle to get traction at first and they don't really know how to get off the ground. So, you know, in your opinion, for the attorney who's just starting out on social media or has been using it for a while, but has, you know, kind of a limited engagement, limited following, what are some of the best tools and the tactics that those attorneys can use to get more value out of their social media presence?
The first thing is to start with the end in mind. Start with what's your ultimate goal and objective and then figure out how social media could be used as a tool to accomplish your marketing and business development and even life goals. Oftentimes, things start out exactly the way that you explain. Someone goes to a CLE, they see that there's social media, they realize they haven't been very active, but they understand that it's important for them to grow their firm and to really remain relevant in today's digital environment. So they get back to their office, they create the LinkedIn profile, they start posting maybe a law review article that they wrote 30 years ago, have a few status updates, and we expect business to immediately roll into the door. When that doesn't happen over the first few days or weeks, or even a month or two, we tend to give up and get frustrated. And I think that's because we start using social media without a plan in mind. And without having that destination, what our ultimate goals are, it's going to be difficult for us to figure out things like, which social media platform should I use? Is it Facebook? Is it Twitter? Is it LinkedIn? Is it all three? It's difficult to figure out, what should I be writing about? Should I be posting on my personal pages? Should I be posting on my law firm's page? Do I need two different pages? Do I need a personal profile for me, a professional profile for me, and one for my law firm? You can't answer these day-to-day questions until you have the end goal in mind. The analogy I like to draw is that using social media without a plan is like getting into your car and driving without a destination in mind. You're going to drive, you're going to spin your wheels, you're going to spend time, you're going to get somewhere, but you're not going to get any closer to your ultimate destination. Once you know that I want to travel from Miami to Tampa, Florida, I know that I could take I-95, I could take the turnpike, I could take side roads, I could take a car, I could take a plane, I could take a train, I can find different ways to accomplish my goal, and the same thing applies with social media. Mm-hmm. So while it seems counterintuitive on the one hand, you think, let me just get started and I'll figure it out along the way, that can ultimately become a time suck. And it can ultimately create false expectations and discouragement because you're not getting the results. But by having that plan, you can be more effective in how you use social media. And this should resonate with us as attorneys, because an effective litigator, when a client walks into their office and tells them the story, we start with the end in mind. We think, what do we want to say at our closing argument that's going to persuade the jury or the judge to find for my client? And we start there, and then we work backwards and say, what evidence do I need to gather in order to be able to make an effective closing argument? What witnesses do I need to depose? What happens if that testimony or that evidence doesn't exist? How else am I going to get it to be able to tell that type of story? And so we start with the closing argument, and we work backwards to collect the evidence and know what motions we want to file and what claims that we want to draft or defenses that we want to raise. And so by applying that same logic to social media, we can start off on the right foot with a social media and digital marketing plan that then we can execute, so that we can trust the process and know that by setting up with a strong foundation and the right plan in mind, we can ultimately achieve results. And I don't mean we've got to wait years to do it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to have that plan is going to help us to know I'm getting closer to my goal and being able to do the types of things that's going to attract the right types of clients for me and my law firm.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. And I think it, you know, it's very good to take this kind of more bird's eye view of where, you know, where you are and where you want to go. I think maybe the biggest challenge that I would foresee for most attorneys with that is that, you know, you kind of made the analogy from, you know, the moments they're meeting the clients, you know, they're thinking through the whole legal process, through the litigation. And I think that makes sense to most attorneys. I think maybe the problem they run into with social media is that, you know, when they're looking at, I think for most of them, you would ask, you know, what is your end goal? And they would say, well, I want to reach more potential clients. You know, I want to get cases. I want to get business. And I think for a lot of them, that end goal is just very far removed from the way that they normally understand that they connect with clients and get cases. So it's tough for them to see that path and connect those dots from, you know, making Facebook posts to actually getting a big case. You know, what would you say to an attorney who's struggling with that issue and kind of can't visualize that whole journey?
Sure. First thing I would do is I kind of draw an analogy between what I'll call traditional networking and social media. And maybe that can help to connect the dots, see how social media can be used to accomplish those goals. So let's say that you're an attorney and you practice employment law in and around Columbus, Ohio. And the type of clients that you want to attract is small business owners within, you know, 25 miles of Columbus, so that you can help them draft their employment policies and help them with any kind of employment litigation that they might have. And that's kind of where you're starting from.
Mm-hmm.
So in the traditional world, you're going to start by thinking, where do small business owners in the Columbus, Ohio area, where do they go? How can I meet them? How can I, you know, get exposure to them? And then how can I introduce myself, get them to know me, like me, trust me, establish myself as a subject matter expert, add value, and let them know about the ways that I could help them? And you might say, well, I can join the local chamber of commerce and I can go to events and meet people, get them to know me. I can join a committee so I meet other leaders. I can then establish that I'm hardworking through, you know, going to committee meetings and volunteering for projects and ultimately becoming a committee chair. Maybe at some point I could propose to the committee to say, hey, why don't I do a free lunch and learn program about the five ways to protect your business from employee-related lawsuits. And so you then can establish yourself as a subject matter expert and find your potential lead there, and then, you know, nurture these leads into clients by taking them to lunch or sending them a resource about an article that you've written, or, you know, communicating over email until it's time that they hire you. So our normal marketing strategies or our traditional marketing strategies resonate with us as attorneys because we're used to it. Now the question becomes, how could we apply those same strategies to social media, not only to supplement what we're currently doing, but in many cases, expedite it? So keeping with our example of an employment lawyer in the Columbus, Ohio area, I might say, look, I can go to LinkedIn and find a LinkedIn group for the local chamber of commerce or a group of perhaps, you know, small business owners in the Columbus, Ohio area. And I can join that LinkedIn group. I can engage with other people's content. I could share my blogs or share my articles with them. I could even create a LinkedIn group that might be called the Small Business Resource Group for local Ohio attorneys. Excuse me, local Ohio small business owners, that you invite a few clients that you already have, you ask them to invite a few of their friends and colleagues. The next thing that you know, you've got a group of 50 people mm-hmm. that use your LinkedIn group to ask questions and engage each other and see you as a trusted advisor and resource in that group to expand your client base. And so I do think that the same thought process that we have for our traditional marketing strategies also work for social media. The question is, how do we put together that plan? And typically, I like to say the plan starts with developing a communication strategy that includes mm-hmm. the following three elements. One, who are your ideal clients? Two, how can you help them? And three, what makes you unique from every other attorney out there that does the same exact type of law as you? And so applying this to our analogy, we might say my ideal clients are small business owners within 25 miles of Columbus, Ohio. I can help them serving as their corporate counsel, drafting employment law contracts, helping them defend against litigation, whatever my practice areas are, or the specific services within those practice areas. And what makes me unique and different might be, hey, I'm a small business owner myself. I'm an entrepreneur and founded my own firm and have a few employees that I've grown over the years. So I know what it's like to deal with the types of issues that you're experiencing because, hey, I've been through them myself. And two, what might make me unique is, well, maybe I've only been practicing for 10 years. So I've got people who are more experienced, but I'm a small shop and I leverage technology to provide very high quality legal services for my client, but at a much lower cost than some of the larger firms that are there. And so I add a value proposition that not only do I know what you're going through, but I can help you, and I can help you in a way that may be less expensive than other people because of my unique skills and background. So once you start with who are my ideal client, how can I help them, and what makes you unique, you then have the starting point for figuring out then what social media platforms that you want to use to engage those ideal clients, meaning where are the CEOs of small businesses networking? Was it LinkedIn? Is it Facebook? Is it Instagram? Is it a combination of those? And then two, what type of content that I'm going to create to engage that target audience, whether it's through sharing photographs of me, video content, explaining concepts about employment law, or creating a lead magnet or a small guide, a blog post that summarizes common issues that CEOs need to know about you and employment law. And then third, how am I going to convert these leads into clients? Meaning what types of digital marketing and social media tools can I use to reach those target clients using the ideal client, the ideal content that's going to be relevant and interesting to them? And then how am I going to ultimately convert those interested leads into clients through email marketing, through the development of lead magnets, through, sponsored targeted campaigns that get them to opt in for a free initial consultation. That's how then you can tie everything together. It starts with that initial communication strategy, and then a content, engagement, and conversion strategy that will enable you to get in front of the audience, share things that are interesting to them, and then ultimately convert them into clients in a way that is trackable through analytics to help you demonstrate your return on investment in terms of time and money that you invest into social media and marketing in general.
Yeah. Wow. That's a really comprehensive answer in connecting the dots. And I think that was great. One question that comes to mind for me is, I think the employment law example is a great one. And it allows you to kind of illustrate that whole process and, how you can visualize your audience and then consistently engage with them. One question that I think a lot of attorneys I'm thinking in particular about, this might be true for other practice areas, but we work with a lot of personal injury attorneys and speak to them. And I think one challenge that they face sometimes is that their ideal clients, is someone who doesn't know that they need an attorney until they get hurt, until something bad happens to them. So, I think a lot of those attorneys worry that, well, look, the general public doesn't want to read about car accidents. They don't want to read about personal injury law. And, they don't think they are ever going to need a personal injury lawyer until they need one. So for attorneys in practice areas like that, how do you suggest that they can keep consistent audience engagement and build a following, given that?
Sure. It is a little bit trickier for some types of practice areas like personal injury to one profile who their ideal client is. And secondly, how you're going to ultimately stay on their radar screen so that when an accident does come, it's time to hire you. Because the strategy is a little bit different for a personal injury law firm than it would be for an employment law firm. In personal injury, your firm needs to be top of mind so that if and when that unfortunate accident occurs, your law firm is one of the first ones that they think of, and there's someone that they already feel like they know and they trust, that there wasn't any thought of who am I going to call when the time that this accident occurs. Because let's put ourselves in the position of our prospective personal injury client. They just got into an accident. I'm not thinking about an attorney. I'm thinking about getting well, getting to the ER, doing whatever I need to do to get my life back in order.
Right.
And hopefully everything is going to be okay. Then you've now settled down from the accident. It's been a few days. It's been a week. It could be the next day, whatever it is. What is someone going to do? Someone's going to do one of two things. Either A, they're going to search online for a personal injury attorney in their area who can help them, or B, they're going to call that person that was already top of mind, someone that they trust that they know to go to. Mm-hmm. And so your law firm as a personal injury firm would be the most successful by already being top of mind so that they know who to call. But you also want to set up social media and digital marketing strategies to make sure that if someone is searching for an online attorney, that your firm is going to pop up and be top of mind. there are different strategies to do this. And sometimes it's a challenge because you have these very large personal injury firms that might spend hundreds of thousands of dollars a month on pay-per-click advertising.
Yes, definitely.
And tough for a solo practitioner to really compete in that market. And so you then have to use and leverage other techniques by either A, really coming up with a niche within personal injury that you can kind of carve out and be competitive in a pay-per-click advertising campaign, or you go the route that I'm thinking, that, you know, Stephen, you talked about at the beginning, which is how do you be top of mind? Because if your content strategy is just, hey, people get in the car accidents, call me, that's not going to be really interesting to people.
Right.
People aren't really going to want to engage with it. So it comes back to the initial communication strategy that we talked about, which are who are the ideal clients? How can you help them? And what makes you unique? So let me apply this to an example of a personal injury law firm that we're working with right now. We work with a personal injury firm that's a solo practitioner. He's lived in a smaller area of Georgia that's kind of in between Savannah and in between Jacksonville, where a lot of the large firms spend their time. Mm-hmm. And he tried PPC advertising and realized it wasn't really effective because those larger firms were still reaching his market. And it was just as expensive for him to run a PPC ad in and around his local small town than it would be to run it in Savannah. So instead, his position was, hey, look, I'm not those big guys. I'm your small town local attorney who's been part of the community for over 20 years. And I'm not the guy that's on a bus stop. And I'm not the guy that's going to be calling, that's going to be, on your television ads, on your radio ads. I'm the guy that you're going to see at your local church. I'm the one rooting for your local football team. Mm-hmm. I'm the guy that's volunteering at the Habitat for Humanity in your neighborhood. And so our content strategy for him is to help demonstrate, one, I'm your hometown guy. I care about our community. I don't want anybody to get into an accident. That's terrible. But if someone is going to get hurt, I want you to work with someone who cares about you and cares about your community. And it's going to be top of mind. And so our strategy is to use social media content to demonstrate how our client is the local hometown guy who cares about the community and who cares about what's going on, so that when someone gets into an accident, it's a no-brainer. They're going with my client. So the content strategy, the social media strategy, this personal injury client is not, hey, I can help you in a car wreck, or after 911, call 411. That's not his style. His style is, I want to create content that keeps me top of mind with my local community and let them know that I care. And so our strategy is to capture photographs of him in and around his local Georgia town, places that people know, or shooting video content that might show him maybe interviewing a local pastor or just talk about things that are happening in the community, or him showing up for a Friday Night Lights football game. And then using social media marketing, particularly Facebook and Instagram, to use the geographic targeting to display this type of content only to, his local 25 to 35 mile area, around his offices, and position him as the local smaller town attorney who really cares. And at the same time that we use this type of content to create this audience, we also share from time to time, informational posts about how he's helped other people in the community. We use his personal injury law firm, we create the type of hometown type content so that when someone does get into the accident, they know who our client is. They like our client because he's their local guy, and they trust him because he's not, as he calls, a Sears Roebuck guy who's just shooting out ads. Mm-hmm. Instead, people know who he is and knows what he can do, and he's used the geographic targeting and his hometown style to develop a content strategy to his advantage. So he's top of mind before somebody gets into that accident. He's the first person that they thought of. So for you, if you're a personal injury law firm that's there, and you're thinking, hey, I don't want to spend $20,000 a month on PPC ads to compete against some of the larger firms, the question is figuring out, of course, who's your client, how can you help, what makes you unique, and then developing a content strategy that will resonate with your target audience. And then using things like social media marketing and using geographic targeting ads or maybe an employment type of targeting ads, because let's say maybe you focus on the construction industry and construction accidents, to really create content that's going to both be relevant and resonate with that target audience. So you're the first person they think of, and that your branding is consistent with all of the other marketing efforts that you might be doing outside of social media and digital marketing.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm glad you brought up and touched on the, you know, what you call hometown content. Because, you know, we've seen a lot of success with that same type of content for clients here at LaFleur. And, you know, our term for it is slice of life content, but it's the same principle. You know, a lot of attorneys wonder if, you know, do people really want to see me go into the football? Absolutely. Yes, they do. And it's in fact, some of the most effective social media content, for those types of attorneys, in our experience as well. One other thing I wanted to touch on, with the time we have left, One strategy that we've seen some firms have a lot of success with is contests and giveaways. And I know you've written about that topic before and the value of them, along with some of the potential concerns. Is that something that you frequently recommend for clients as a way to create engagement and grow their audience? It seems like some firms can grow an audience pretty quickly with giveaways, but there's some, you know, there are some questions, number one, about ethics or the legality of that and, you know, things you have to adhere to. And also, you know, whether you're creating an audience that is actually engaged in the way that you want them to be and is going to be top of mind if for a legal matter rather than just for, you know, getting local sports tickets or whatever.
Sure. There's no question that running contests, sweepstakes, and giveaways can result in a lot of engagement. And from that perspective, it works. If you're going to give away a free Starbucks gift card or tickets to, you know, your local NFL team game, people are going to like, comment, and share your post and get involved. There's no question. The three challenges to consider are, one, is what you're doing legal, meaning are you complying with state and federal laws that regulate contests and sweepstakes and giveaways? Because the same laws that apply to an automobile company giving away a $30,000 car also apply to a small family law firm giving away a $10 Starbucks gift card to their Facebook page. And failure to comply with those laws could result in civil or criminal liability. Or if you violate the social media site terms, you can get your social media profiles permanently deleted. And then two, is this going to be effective? And for a lot of my business clients through my law firm, I think that social media contests and sweepstakes are really effective. But for law firms, not as much. Mm-hmm. It's not saying that you can't run something that's going to be effective. It's that does running a sweepstakes or a contest really fit your law firm's brand?
Right.
Does it help to resonate the right types of messaging? Two, does it create, as you say, the right type of audience, meaning are the people who are going to engage with you going to be the right types of clients for your law firm? And three, are you really going to get kind of the return on investment and what it is that you're doing to show that the engagement that you receive through your online contests or sweepstakes will connect you with a prospective client who later, you know, converts into a strong lead or converts into a client itself. My gut feeling is that for lawyers and law firms, contests and sweepstakes is not going to be the first, second, third, fourth, or fifth tool that we take out of our tool chest to help accomplish our goals. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that it can't be done. And it doesn't mean that it can't be done effectively and can't be done responsibly. But I really think it's got to fit your overall marketing plan and serve to accomplish a particular objective. I think that contests and sweepstakes might be a good way to kind of create general awareness for a new law firm. It could be done to help connect with a local community just generally from kind of an awareness and an engagement standpoint. So let's say maybe that you're a new criminal law firm based out of, you know, Miami, and you want to get people to know who you are. You can run general awareness campaigns about your firm. You can create video content about who you are and why you founded your firm, and share this to the local audience. And maybe you can supplement it by saying, you know, we're going to be volunteering at this event and giving away tickets, you know, like this post for a chance to be part of the giveaway. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that really comes at the far, far end. Quite frankly, it's not a strategy that I use with any of my law firm clients. So I don't want to say it's not effective and it can't be used well, but it is one that's difficult, not only from effectiveness standpoint, but then you get into the area of legal advertising ethics.
Yeah, absolutely.
Does your contest and sweepstakes not only accomplish your goals, but does it comply with the legal advertising ethics rules? Do you have all the required disclosures that you need? Is everything branded in connection with your contest, a legal advertisement? Depending upon your jurisdiction, did you run this giveaway by your local bar association and get approval for you to do it? I would almost think that some bar associations would say, I have no idea what this is and what you're trying to do, and would just deny you or reject you from using it just based on the fact that they don't understand it. So, you know, unlike a social media post or a PPC ad or a banner ad that they've seen before that you can execute, you may have to do some educating with your state bar to even get them on board and doing it.
Right.
But at the end of the day, what you really need to be careful of if you decide to go down this route is to not just try it, see what happens, and then learn from the experience. Because what's going to happen is you're going to get a lot of engagement from a giveaway, and a competing law firm is going to say, well, this doesn't look legit. And they're probably going to pick up the phone and call the bar and at least ask them to take a look and investigate it. And that's the last thing that you want, the bar to learn about this for the first time and then see that you didn't go through the appropriate channels. I think it's almost better to say, you know what? I've talked with LaFleur, I've talked with Steven, and I got a really strong gut feeling that we could do a good job with this campaign. Let me first analyze the applicable ethics rules to satisfy myself that it can be done. And two, consider, even if with an anonymous call, calling your bar association, floating this idea, and seeing what it is that they say. And three, to the extent that you have to submit this advertising campaign to the bar for approval, you go ahead and do so. Because you'd much rather have them say, no, you can't do it, or you can't do it unless you follow these restrictions, and then satisfy them so that when your competitor does pick up the phone and call the bar, they say, I know exactly what this is. They submitted it, they complied, and they've done nothing wrong.
Right. Yeah. So definitely some, I think, some compelling arguments there to pump the brakes a little bit on the contests and giveaways. Not that they can't produce value, but, you know, they may produce a lot of engagement up front, and it may be fun to see that activity and those likes and follows. But, you know, there are some concerns there that you should need to be aware of. Okay. We just have probably a little bit of time left. So with what we have left, I did want to touch on, you know, maybe throw a little question for those attorneys who are a little more social media savvy and have been working with some of this stuff for a while. You know, probably learning things, but also some of the things we're talking about, you know, they may be aware of. In particular, we've already touched on, you know, not individually, but the big three kind of platforms are LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook, right? And they all have their own, you know, their own strengths and, you know, for different practice areas and different types of attorneys, you know, one may be more appropriate to focus on the other. But I'm just curious too, I'm sure, you know, as someone who spends a lot of time thinking about social media, you're familiar with lots of other platforms. So I'm just wondering, are there any outside the box options that you really like, or any emerging platforms that you sometimes recommend for attorneys? What are your favorite platforms or platforms you're most interested in outside of those big three?
Outside of the big three, Instagram is my next go-to for some law firms. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you're going to use Instagram as a personal injury firm to just post pictures of people getting into car accidents and flashing your phone number, it's not going to be a worthwhile investment.
Right.
But I do think that if you are either a small firm or a law firm, or excuse me, a large law firm that has different, as you say, slice of life pieces or a way to get to know you, I think Instagram could be great. And the reason is that people use Instagram almost more than they use LinkedIn, or definitely more than they use LinkedIn, and more than they use Twitter. I think it's only second to Facebook now.
Yeah, I think it is now.
In terms of the amount of time people spend there. So why not, if you have a really good photo and video content strategy, use this to get in front of people to let them know more about you and your firm. And that'd be the primary way to use Instagram, but then also record interesting video content that might educate people about your area of law as well. So I use Instagram through my social media Law and Order account to show kind of fun photographs of me, you know, speaking at events or talking to, you know, people in the community. I might use it also for personal stuff. So I'm a CrossFit trainer and I've competed in the CrossFit games the last few years. So I might have like a picture of me flipping a tire and get like a more personal piece. But, you know, this past Sunday, I went ahead and recorded 10 new 60-second video pieces that educate people about influencer marketing or website terms and conditions or how, you know, getting a trademark or conducting a trademark search is really important to a business who's either just starting up or who's been around for a while. But instead of just kind of sitting in front of a white wall and staring into the camera, I decided to make it more my brand. So I'm kind of walking through the office, talking to a camera that's actually sitting on a skateboarder that follows me. And as I turn the corner, there's like another shot. So it was filmed pretty simply, but still looks pretty cool. So I can sprinkle those things into my Instagram engagement. And so people are both learning about how I can help, but also learning about me, and it's not coming across as salesy. So I think for some law firms, Instagram is a really good one outside of the big three. In addition to that, I don't love Snapchat for a primary vehicle for law firms to promote themselves. I don't think that it says you can't do it. I think this is reserved for someone who's really young, a millennial, who is a, really loves using social media. The idea I think here is like a savvy, young entertainment attorney who's comfortable sharing live videos and being like an influencer in that space. Mm-hmm. They might be able to use something like a Snapchat or a new platform, but outside of Instagram, I don't know if there's really a great go-to. Pinterest is another one that you could ultimately be successful with if you use it correctly. It was the fastest growing social media platform for women for a very long period of time. And
right.
So if you were to develop, you know, pin boards that talk about lifestyle things while also sharing your blogs as a separate pin board as well and some other lifestyle photos of you, that could be a really neat outside the box piece. But I'd say that Pinterest really picked up steam and it's kind of tempered a bit over the last couple of years as sites like Facebook start to consume or subsume, excuse me, things like Instagram and things like the live story that Snapchat would offer. I think people continue to re-gravitate back to those big three. So I'd say Instagram is one that you want to think about adding to your toolkit, depending upon the type of firm you are, the types of clients you want to attract, and most importantly, the types of content that you can create. Because the last thing you want to do is have an Instagram profile and the content just suck.
Right.
Because then you're going to create the negative impression. You'd rather have no impression, or at least a basic Instagram account that has my logo, has a link to my website, has a short description, maybe one or two posts to say, you know, we love connecting with our clients, but, you know, Facebook's our preferred method of contact. Or while we'd love to connect with you here, you know, we're out helping clients, outside. So come to our website, just check out where we can learn more. So at least people know that you have a presence on that platform, but they know not to expect that you're going to be updating things regularly. So if it's their preferred platform, you can still direct them to where they can learn more about you.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, one thing Instagram is good at is creating kind of a more intimate feel and a more personal feel. And I think that for, you know, a lot of attorneys maybe would underestimate the value of that because, you know, for a lot of people in the general public who are, you know, contacting a lawyer maybe for the first time for a particular issue, you know, that can be an intimidating process for them. And just feeling a sense of familiarity with that attorney, you know, before they make that call, I mean, that can be a big differentiator, I think. And, you know, something that, like you said, really keeps that attorney top of mind if they feel like it's someone that they know what they're like, what their demeanor is like, what they look like. You know, that makes a big difference, I think. Okay.
And then, you know, connecting your... Oh, sorry.
No, okay, go on. Go ahead.
I was going to say, just make sure what it does, it helps you to then connect with all your other digital marketing elements. Mm-hmm. So by having that Instagram account, people may become more comfortable with you, but then they're going to Google you.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that your Google reviews, your reputation management is there to establish credibility, that everything has consistent branding. Just know that the Instagram and the social media is really just an extension of you and the brand. And to make sure that you don't just look at Instagram in a vacuum and say, how can I use this one platform? How can this one platform be just one of many tools that are all integrated together in a more global social media and digital marketing strategy? And I think that's really going to help not only to get people more familiar with you, but then easily connect the dots with the other things that you currently are using.
Yeah, great advice. I feel like we're right on point. I mean, we talk about this a lot in the podcast of kind of, having this holistic strategy. So we're right on message there with you too. Okay, Ethan, it's been great. We've got to wrap up. We appreciate you coming on the podcast so much, and it's been really informative and definitely for me, and I hope for the attorneys listening too. Once again, Ethan Wall is the founder of Social Media Law and Order. He is an attorney, an author, a marketing consultant, a speaker, and so much more. To learn more about Ethan and find out how he can help your law firm, just visit his website at socialmedialawandorder.com. Ethan, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks, Steve. It's glad to be here.
All right, that's it for this episode of Legal Marketing Radio. Don't forget to check back next month for another new episode. And just as a preview of that content, we're going to have another special guest, and we're going to talk about thinking through your clients' journeys. So in other words, understanding how they become clients, how they interact with you, what that process is like for them, and what you can do to kind of step outside yourself, view that process, and then use it to make improvements in how your law firm does business. Finally, as always, if you've got a question or a suggestion for the podcast, just send an email to radio@lafleur.marketing. I'll get back to you, and I'll try to address your question on the next episode. All right, that's it for this time. Thanks again for tuning into Legal Marketing Radio from LaFleur.